All right. Well, hey, I want to appreciate our guests that are here today, although, As JB mentioned, you know, we're one church, we're one body, and so it's great to have these guys as part of our team, and it's cool to get to have them coming down here, and we'll be seeing some more of them, and so I love that. But one of the things I love, I was just thinking as I was standing back there earlier this morning, I love that really anybody that gets up here, whether it's these guys or whether it's at Abide or whether it's on Sunday mornings here in Middletown, not one of our worship leaders has an ego in such a way that it's about them. And really, it's just about getting up here and magnifying Jesus. And that's what I love about it. It's just so genuine. And you're going to get that consistently across the board from anybody that steps up here. It's not about us. And so great to get to worship just alongside these guys this morning. Hey, so I don't know how many of you guys have played the game. I was playing it with my kids the other night. That game, Would You Rather, you know the game that I'm talking about, where it's like these ridiculous scenarios that would never occur, but it's just fun to consider. Like, what if, the Would You Rather question. I want to pose a few of those to you today as we get rolling. But all right, so here's the first one. So would you rather, if you had to, would you rather have smelly feet or bad breath? Just tell somebody next to you, smelly feet or bad breath. Like, if you're just stuck with one of those two things, some of you might have just revealed that you have one of those things. Like, I don't know. I'm just, probably not. Hopefully not. I don't know which of those. Maybe smelly feet, because I can at least hide them in my shoes, than bad breath all the time. Although, maybe, but you, even gum, we'll have to say that even gum doesn't fix it. You're just like consistently bad breath. What about this one? What would you rather have to shout all the time? Like, you'd only, this is one volume, and your volume was shouting, or your volume was just whispering. Like, nobody can hear you. Like, they're just like, and it's like, excuse me? That kind of thing. So if you tell somebody next to you, shout all the time or only be able to whisper where nobody could possibly hear you. I heard somebody say, that was good. Shout, I'd rather shout. That's perfect. Okay, what's all the yelling about? It's my only volume. I don't know what you want me to do, right? How many of you would rather shout all the time? How many of you are fine just not being heard? Like, you're just like, I'll just whisper, you know, and you can figure it out. Read my lips. I don't know. Here's one. Again, would you rather completely arbitrary conversation. Might be helpful to consider for one day. Would you rather be constantly sticky or constantly itchy? Okay, so that's all you got. Constantly sticky, constantly itchy. All right, which one is it? All right, hear me out on this one. How are you going to be constantly sticky without also being itchy? You know what I mean? Like, if I got like maple syrup all over me all the time and I just can't get it off, I'm itchy too. You know, so I went with itchy because then at least I'm not sticky as well. So that was my choice. That was my logic there. Again, completely arbitrary. Here's the one we were going through it with our kids the other day that really had my head spinning a little bit, for real. Would you rather be able to stop time or go back in time? So you either got the Zach Morris thing going on, or you're just be able to, like, let's pause this, you know, and you can kind of like step in and kind of think things through, whatever. I just need to pause right here. You know, maybe some of you need that remote control at work or whatever. Or would you rather be able to go back in time? Like, I can go back in time. Tell somebody real quick, just if you haven't already. Where are my stop time, people? Like, I just need a breath, okay? I need to stop time here. Where am I go back in time, people? Yeah. Okay, good. I appreciate the enthusiasm, too. That's good stuff. So back in time, here's what I was thinking with back in time. Like, how many of you think, man, like, if I could just go back in time, I could hit, like, undo on something. Like, if I could go, I mean, you've had those moments in your life, too, where you're like, I wish I could have that one back. And it could be simple things like you know, you got injured in some way, or like, I would have, like, you know, not done that again, or I would have not made that decision again. But some of them, if you're really honest, if you really dig into that question, you're like, there's some things in my life, if I could do over, I would do over. If I was really honest, like, maybe it's a decision that you made, or you're like, I have some regrets with that one still. And if I could just go back and sort of undo that one, I would undo that one. Or maybe, if you're being honest, it was something that you don't even like to speak about because it was something that happened to you. And if you could go back in time and avoid that moment or change that situation or scenario, you would go back and do that thing. Or maybe it's just something tragic that happened in your life that you still feel, and it's deep and it cuts deep, and you're like, I wish I didn't even have to, like, it's just such an awful, tragic thing that I don't even want to have to replay that one. Like, if I could just go back and sort of make that have never, that thing never have happened, I would do that. Now, obviously, these are arbitrary because life doesn't work that way. We don't have an undo button. We don't have a rewind button. We can't go back in time. And throughout this series, we've been talking about what does it look like to bear the image of God? And one of the things that kind of occurred to me as I was thinking about that is we live in this reality as human beings where we both bear the image of God, but we also bear the wounds of the world. And we kind of live between these two tensions. Like, this is God's ideal. This is how he created us. This is what he had in mind. Yet we also bear the wounds of a fallen world, of our own decisions, of maybe someone else's decision, or maybe just the fact that we live in a fallen, broken world. And so we carry those things. Now, I wonder if Adam and Eve had that power. I think I know which one they would choose. They would choose the go back in time thing. And I hope that they would have one decision they would remake. You know, they would remember Adam, remember Eve. There's that one apple we don't want you to eat because you're going to screw things up for the rest of us, you know? So we could just go back in time and you could not eat that one. He gave you all kinds of other fruit to eat. Like, what do you need? He gave you all the stuff you needed. Don't eat that one. They ate that one. Now, we can harp on them all we want, but we would have made the same decision because we're all prone to rebellion. We're all prone to reject God in our hearts. Our human nature defies him. Adam and Eve they weren't comfortable just being with God. They wanted to be God. They wanted autonomy. They wanted control. And so because of that, and because of our own living in a world where there is fallenness and rebellion and we make these decisions, we all both bear the image of God, but we also bear the wounds of the world, the bumps and bruises of living in a fallen world. And last week, Stephen captured the idea of this idea of the fallout of the fall. And this is one of the biggest fallouts of the fall is what we're going to talk about today, which is the wounded heart. Those wounds that maybe you can't see on the surface, but those wounds that cut deep, those wounds that we carry, and those wounds, if left unaddressed, just have this way of continuing to grow in us. And again, these fall in different categories, just so we're clear. Some of those wounds are self-inflicted, and you can look at them and you can be like, that is a direct consequence of a decision that I made, and it is what it is, and I'm bearing that decision. Some again, come from somebody else. Someone else made a decision that you have had to live with, or someone else made a decision that has caused you some deep-seated pain. And again, some are just the result of living in a broken, fallen world. We can't explain it other than that. Some tragedy, some unexplained evil, whatever it is, we feel those wounds as well. But the truth is, none of us get out of this life without being wounded, without carrying both wounds, physical wounds, but wounds that cut much deeper than that as well. They come up in all different shapes and sizes, take on different forms. Some run deeper than others. Maybe it's betrayal. Somebody you trusted let you down. Somebody you trusted turned out to not be who they said they would be, or not who you thought that they were. Maybe it's insecurity. You know, you just, in some area of your life, you just don't feel like you amount up to what God created you to be. You just feel like you're constantly falling short. Whatever it is, it's some kind of insecurity. Or maybe it's a failure that just continues to, as much as you try not to let it, it wants to define your future. Maybe it's just this persistent fear of something, or some kind of fear or disappointment. I could go on and on, right? We understand the kinds of wounds that I'm describing, but they're the ones that are a little bit harder to fix. They're a little bit harder to address. And unfortunately, we don't have the ability to go back and just press undo on those things. But what we do have the ability to do is to address those wounds moving forward. We have the ability to do something about those things in the here and now and begin moving more toward the image bearer side of the equation. And so what I want to do is I want to dive back into Genesis today. We've been in the same section of Scripture for weeks, and I really like that because it gives us the ability to really dive in and really kind of just pull all the meat off the bone here on this text. And there's just so much going on and so much profound insight when it comes to human nature. I mean, how incredible is it that what happened, and we'll see here today, that what happened, it really the beginning of humanity still rings true today. That we still have a lot of these same tendencies, and we're going to see that today. So what I want to do today is we get back into Genesis, and we're going to start in verses 6 through 7, is I'm going to also just pose to you a few questions I want you to think about or consider when it comes to our woundedness and our wounded hearts. Genesis 3, 6 through 7 says this, and this is the moment where that fallout began and really our woundedness started. It says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Now notice, the effects of their decision were instant. They were a direct result, right? These consequences that they felt, they were instant, and they instantaneously ran deep, because what we see here is that at the instant that they took the bite of that apple, their eyes were open, but not in a good way, and they realized some things. They realized, first of all, that they were naked, and they felt shameful, or they felt vulnerable about that. They felt every bit of that, and so these wounds started to cut deeper to the heart. Now, notice what happens here, because they feel these wounds, they sense this right away, and I just have to guess that it was Adam's idea, that he's like, we need to do something, we need to fix this. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of like, and maybe you're a guy that's wired this way, like, you're like, we gotta fix it. Like, you're the fix-it guy, you know? And your wife might be talking about, hey, how she feels about it. Like, I feel all of these things. And you're like, you're ready to, like, fix. And she's like, actually, I just wanted you to listen. You know, if you could do that for a second, that would be really, really good. And but I always fall in it because I'm, like, always wanting to, like, fix the thing or, like, you know, address the thing. And so I'm just guessing that it was Adam's idea to be like, wow, this doesn't feel very good, this shame, this... And then he's like, but there's some fig leaves. Like, let's just sew some of those together. Like, it'll be all right. You know, let's try to do that. So he gets some fig leaves and he sort of makes this ugly garment for himself. And then I'm just imagining, maybe this has never happened at your house, but I'm just imagining Eve saying, you gonna wear that out like today? You gonna leave the house like that? Are you sure? Now, this is not in there. I'm just suggesting that this is might have how it gone down. Regardless, we see this human tendency, and what is the human tendency? We have a problem. I need to fix it. We have a problem, a big problem now, and I need to fix it. I need to address it. You notice what they don't do? They don't run back to God and say, hey, God, we have a problem. We messed up. We blew it. I need to own this. I need to deal with this. They don't do that. Rather, they say, let's try to, like, you know, create some insufficient garment here, you know, and a couple fig leaves should do the trick. So they try to solve their own problem, take care of their own wound. And I know none of us would do that, right? None of us would try to fix the things ourselves and not run first to God. We went on a camping trip this past winter, and it's one we've been doing every year, and it's a trip we take with our boys and some dads, and it's a blast. It's freezing cold, muddy, and it's everything a boy dreams of, just being out in the woods in the winter, you know, and aside from the cold, it's amazing, and they're getting muddy and just having a great time the whole time, and so we're just kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and it never fails, like, somebody gets hurt, and we're all just kind of like, you know, crossing our fingers it's not our kid, you know, because it's like somebody's getting hurt. You get a bunch of boys together, and somebody's doing something silly or making a mistake, and somebody's getting hurt. And there was a moment where all of a sudden we just hear, like, crying, like, really, like, man, somebody's really upset. And all of us dads are, like, listening to the sound, like, is that my kid? And then I'm, like, looking, and I'm like, I look up, and it's Aiden. He's coming toward me, and he's like, Dad, like, like, oh. And I'm like, okay, I'm hopefully he's just overreacting. And as soon as he comes up to me, he shows me his hand. It's, first of all, it's all muddy, but what I can see through the mud is a lot of blood. And I'm like, my reaction in my head was, goo! Like, that looks terrible. Oh my God. Like, I'm freaking out in my brain. Like, I'm like, this is not good. We're in the middle of nowhere. Oh my gosh. And and what comes out of my mouth, though, like, as I'm looking at it, is like, it's going to be all right, buddy. It's going to be all right. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, it's going to be okay. Like, and so we pull him over. And I mean, it's just like spouting out blood. And I'm like, I'm trying to, we're in a campsite. We don't have a lot. I don't have like a sink to wash in. We're just like pouring bottled water on it. And we pour bottled water on it. And the blood goes. And then it's like right back. And then it's like, you know, I can see all kinds of other things in his hand. And I'm like, this is not good. This is not good. And he's freaking out, but I'm trying to keep him calm. And this whole thing, right? Like, we're just looking like, this is not good. And so we have Kevin Poole is there, and he's like, you know, he's kind of in the medical field. He's got good bedside manner. He's just like looking at it. He's like, it's going to be okay, buddy. And he's like, am I going to have to get stitches? You know, because that's what every kid wants to know. Like, am I going to have to go to the hospital? And we're like, we're just going to take it a step at a time. Of course, the dads are looking up closest place to go, and I were like, well, don't worry about that. And Paul, I don't even know where he was, but he sort of just came out of the woods at this time. Like, I don't know if he's going for a hike or something, and he just looks at that thing, like, we're all trying to keep Aiden calm, and he just goes, yeah, that's definitely going to need stitches. Like, that is bad. And I'm like, what are you saying? Like, don't say that. Like, do you know anything about kids? You know? And he works on pets, so he doesn't have to have bedside manner with them, I guess. But like, of course, he's like now upset, whatever, but we go and they won't even treat him at the urgent care because they're like, well, that's bad. Like, I don't even want to, I'm not doing that one. I'm like, don't you heal people here? Like, what are we doing? And so they sent us on to the ER. I'm like, that's perfect. Like, we'll wait 18 hours while this thing just hangs open there. That's great. Like, because that's basically what ended up happening. And so finally we got taken care of and he's in there. They're in there doing the stitching and I'm just like, okay, so they finally, like took care of him in there. But imagine if we had just, like, when that first happened, like, and it clearly needed attention. Like, it was like, we got a Band-Aid. Let's just throw a Band-Aid on that little cloth. Like, let's leave it be, right? Like, that should be totally fine, right? Or what if I just, like, said, hey, dude, bite on this stick. Like, I watched a YouTube video on this one time. I think we can get in there and sew something up. Like, we wouldn't do that, right? We wouldn't do that with our physical wounds. Why do we do it with our emotional, relational, and spiritual wounds? Why do we think, like, I'm going to fix this somehow? That's our human instinct, isn't it? To control the situation, to fix things ourselves. But what it does is it often overrides our ability to receive what we actually need, the thing that can actually help us, God's provision. So question number one is, what if our pain signals our need for his provision? What if our pain actually signals our need? It's a signal for our need for his provision. And if we just stop trying to fix things ourselves, what if we leaned on him and we ran back to him and we allowed somebody who's actually meant to take care of these things to take care of these things? What we see as we read on is that God, in his grace, despite their disobedience, he provides for their needs in that moment. So he replaces those insufficient fig leaves with some real clothes. It says that the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. And I believe that he wants to do that same thing for us, but as long as we're striving, as long as we're controlling, as long as we're trying to fix things on our own, he will allow us to do that. But all the while, our loving Lord beckons us. And I want you to hear this from him, not from me. He beckons us by saying from his word, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. So would you stop striving and would you allow me to care for your wound? Now, our wounds likely won't be healed in an instant. We know this. It's a process, and through that process, we get the opportunity to lean with greater dependence and greater depth on our Lord Jesus. But what if we just started praying that prayer that God gave us to pray, which is, God, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, give me what I need today. And I've always wondered, like, why doesn't he just solve it all at once? Why doesn't he say, why can't it be, God, give us this year our yearly bread? Like, can't I just drop that one down? You take care of the yearly thing, solve the thing. I'm going to have another wound later, I'm sure. Like, we can address that one. But he's saying, no, depend on me daily. Like, give me what I need today to continue to go deeper with you and grow more deeply through this situation. There's a prayer on one of the prayer apps that I use, and it's kind of the same thing every day. It repeats this. It says, Creator God, who formed humanity from dust, breathe in me again. Revive me and sanctify me by the power of your Spirit. Set my heart on fire with the good news of the gospel, the good news that his grace is sufficient. So what if, friends, our pain was actually the signal that we desperately need his provision? Question number two, what if our wound was the window to our breakthrough? What if our wound was actually the window to our breakthrough? We think it's the proof that everything is falling apart, but what if it was actually the window that God was going to use to bring about our breakthrough? But there is a second human tendency that the wounded heart succumbs to, and we see it as we read on in the text. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, Where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. What's the second human tendency? One we all know well, running and hiding. Running and hiding. It's hardwired into our humanity. We run from God. We run from others. We run from our problems. We try to work things out on our own. We try to find other things that might bring temporary relief or just a little bit of escape rather than actually addressing what's going on. Rather than finding healing in a relationship or in our marriage, maybe we run to a new relationship. Maybe rather than addressing our intimacy issues, we settle into lust. Rather than acknowledging our pain, we drink ourselves numb, or we find ourselves tangled up in things like drugs or things that might just create a little bit of relief for us. Rather than addressing our inadequacy, we just paint this nice picture on social media how great our life is all the while on the inside. That's not how it looks. Or we suppress and ignore the things nagging beneath the surface, hiding behind some fake surface persona that we've built. I mean, none of us would do that. But this is the human tendency, running and hiding, because it's hardwired into our DNA. I love what John Eldridge says, though. He says that the story of your life is the story of the long and brutal assault on your heart by the one who knows what you could be and fears it. But we have to confront it. We have to own it. We have to look it in the eye. As long as we're running and hiding, there's one thing we aren't doing, healing. We're not experiencing breakthrough. One psychologist reminds us that the unexposed is the unhealed. Because in our running and hiding, we are letting the enemy alienate us from the very one who could provide healing and wholeness for us, who Hebrews calls the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, Jesus. And I've admittedly been good, maybe like some of you, at suppressing and ignoring my issues. I see a counselor once a month now, and that's been really good. And he basically told me that, believe it or not, suppressing your stuff is unhealthy, if that's profound to you. But he had to point it out to me, like, you know, just you keep suppressing it, but it's not healthy for you. Physically or otherwise, it's not healthy for you to suppress your stuff. So in case you needed that profound wisdom, there it is, right? But you know you still do it, and you're still going to do it, some of you. You're going to still just press it down a little bit further. Recently, I'm kind of trying to take his advice, so I shared with a few people that I trust at Axis that I've kind of leaned into a little bit as I've been navigating some stuff. And one day, I was like, I'm just not really doing very good today. And I shared some specifics that I hadn't shared with anybody else. And one of my friends was like, yes, praise God. I'm like, I just told you I'm falling apart. You know, like, what are we praising God about? I have no idea. And they were like, well, we're praising God because you said it out loud. You said it out loud. You just took away some of its power. And I'm like, Oh, praise God then. All right, we did it. It's been interesting because over the last couple months, I've had a lot of dudes that have reached out to me, like, in ways that dudes don't normally do. And they're like, hey, I think I need to talk about some junk that I've sort of just let go for a long time. And it's been a trend. Like, I'm talking, there's been a lot of guys that have reached out and not me probing at all. And them just being like, I think I just finally need to talk about some stuff. I'm like, okay, really? We can do that. And my thought is, yes, praise God. They're ready to say it out loud. I have a group of guys that I meet with every other Thursday, and the very stipulation to be in this group, it's a core group, it's a discipleship group. I told them all from the beginning, if you're not going to be real, don't waste your time, don't waste our time. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm being real. Like, don't, because we've been in all these groups where we do all the nice flowery stuff, and we read the scriptures, and we don't intend to change anything, and we don't intend to really dig in and, like, say, like, or just be honest about the fact that we don't have it all together all the time. And so I'm like, we're going to be real, and then we're going to push each other a little bit further, right? We're gonna challenge each other, but as long as we're still running and hiding, we aren't moving forward into God's future. And so we got to start with being real. And so my question for you is, like, what about you? Are you running and hiding, or are you bringing that stuff out? Because if you can bring that stuff out and be vulnerable with it, with God, the very person that can tend to your needs, that's the essential step forward. So maybe you need to find somebody and be like, you know what? I got to share some stuff. I got to get some stuff off my chest. It's how we begin to crack open that window that turns a wound into an opportunity. I love what it says in Isaiah 63:1-4. And interestingly, this was the scroll that Jesus himself unrolled to read as he began his ministry, as he inaugurated his ministry. He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." And Jesus unrolls this scroll, he reads this, and then he says, "Today, this is fulfilled in your hearing." Saying, I'm the one that's going to do these things. I'm the one that is going to crown you with a crown of beauty instead of ashes. And God wants to do that for you. He wants to crown you with beauty, but you got to bring him your ashes. You say, okay, here you go, God. God wants to bring joy, but you've got to show him your mourning. He wants to give you a garment of praise, but you've got to show him those areas of despair in your life. And so, friends, what if your wound was actually the window for your breakthrough? One more question. What if our scars were actually meant to tell a story? What if our scars were meant to tell his story specifically? And what's so powerful, even in this opening section of scripture here, just after the fall, is we see that God had already conceived a plan to reverse the curse of sin. He had already conceived a plan to address our woundedness, to allow us to walk in wholeness as his image bears. God had already set in motion a way to bring healing to our wounds. Genesis 3:14-15 says, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. And listen to this, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel.'" And so it's forecasting. This is forecasting the coming Messiah. And I don't know about you, but I got a lot of scars, physical. I got all of them, every one of them. I got one on my ankle. There's a great story there. I got one where I shut my hand in a car door. There's a great story there. Not really. That one's kind of a boring one. But every one of these scars has a story that comes with it. And I would suggest to you that maybe your scars, the woundedness, the things that you're facing, the things that you're dealing with now are setting you up to tell a story that somebody else needs, and that's the story of God's unfailing love. Is, yeah, I went through this, I dealt with this, but come and see what God has done. So all of the scars that we have are showing God's unfailing love. How we found ourselves through the process of walking with Jesus. We all bear the scars of life, but those scars tell the story of his love. And because of Jesus, our scars don't just tell the story of human fallenness, they tell the story of God's faithfulness. Because we have a God who himself bears those scars as well. He bears those scars on his own hands of fallen humanity. His scars tell the story of redemption, the story of boundless, unfailing love. Isaiah 51, 4 through 6, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But God invites you today to come, scars and all, wounds and all, reminded of the scars that Jesus bears so that we can experience wholeness. He was crushed for our iniquities. By his wounds, we're healed. The scars of Jesus tell this story, and I would just encourage you, as Jesus reaches out a scarred hand to you today, that you would be reminded of how loved you are. That you would look at those scarred hands, and may his scars tell the story of his unfailing love. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the reminder of your mercy. Thank you for just the fact that in light of the woundedness that we feel, the woundedness that we carry, because we bear the wounds of the world, God, that you remind us, you continue to speak to us, God, that we are your image bearers, God, that you have a different story for us to tell, that you are, God, even now, if we would allow you to, you are doing a great work, a deep work in our heart, God. And so while we can't go back in time, while we can't rewrite the past, God, we can allow you to write a new story for our future. And so, God, I thank you as we just sing here in just a minute, as we just sing about your love story, God, as we sing about the scars that you bore so that we could have life, the scars that you bore so that we could experience your unfailing love. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.